well. Finish well. Take your Bible and look at 1 Kings chapter 17. Amen. Good singing this morning. Good singing. Praise God for singing. God uses it. 1 Kings 17. And talking about Elijah. He's one of my favorite characters besides, you know, all of them are, really. John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is likened to Elijah. And Elijah shows up. And, man, he shows up on the scene, and he's a preaching machine. Amen. He's a preaching machine. The guy had some guts, but he got kind of sidetracked a little bit when Jezebel went after him. And, but, you know, God sent a man for another man. God always sends a man for another. There was a wicked king that rose up named Ahab. In 1 Kings 16, look at verse 33. It says, Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And Ahab was a bad king. And it says the kings of Israel, but see, you all know this northern tribes, 10 tribes went north, and they with Jeroboam, and the other tribes stayed with Rehoboam, and that was Judah and Benjamin and the Levites. And Jeroboam, you know, he provoked God to anger. And then Ahab comes along, and he's one of them kings that the Bible says he did worse than all of them. He did worse than all the ones before him. So God rose up a man that had some backbone. And God gave a prophet, and the Bible says in chapter 17, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, you know, when he tells that, he says, it's not going to rain, man. And it doesn't rain. It's a type of the tribulation. Tribulation is not going to rain for 3.5 years. So when is the tribulation? It's right after the rapture. Right after the rapture. And Elijah shows up in the book of Zechariah. He shows up 3 times later on after he's dead. It was only 2 guys that went to heaven without dying. And anybody know, raise your hand if you know who they are. 2 guys went to heaven without dying. One of them was Enoch. He's a type of the church. Enoch never died. He walked with God, and the Bible says he was not, because God took him. And he walked right into heaven. He's walking along with God one day, and the Lord said, you know what? You're closer to my house than you are to yours. Come on, go home with me. And he went on to heaven. And then Elijah calls an Uber, and an Uber comes down. It was a fiery chariot, and he has an Uber comes down, and this fiery chariot, he steps on a fiery chariot and takes off, and Elisha stands there and says, man, the chariots of God. I mean, and man, he goes up into heaven, but Elijah's coming back. Can you imagine that? How would you like to go to heaven? That's what I always say when a person dies, when they get to heaven, they're not going to want to come back. Not unless Jesus Christ is on the throne. And so Elijah goes to heaven, but he's coming back. And the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, he's one of the anointed ones standing beside the Lord. And hold your place in 1 Kings 18. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Actually, go to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 9. Check this out. In Luke chapter 9, it's 3 accounts of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. You said, what's that? That's when Jesus goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's transfigured, and Moses and Elijah shows up and talks with him. And you say, what are they talking about? And when Peter sees it, he said, man, we ought to make 3 tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses. He was making Moses and Elijah equal with Jesus Christ, but they're not. They're no way equal with Jesus Christ. But you know what the Bible says they were talking about? And it says, it came to pass, verse 28, it said, it came to pass of, this is Luke chapter 9, verse 28. It came to pass at 8th day after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elijah. Check that out. Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They were talking about what's going to happen in Jerusalem when Jesus Christ is going to die. Moses and Elijah shows up. And I can imagine Elijah saying, Lord, you sure about this? You sure you want to go through this? These people don't love you. I mean, you got Christians now that are saved. They don't love you. And can you imagine Elijah and Moses talking to Jesus Christ saying, what about this? How you going to, you know, what's going to happen? And the Lord tells them what's going to happen. Then Elijah shows up again in Revelation chapter 11, and he gets killed in Revelation 11. Moses and Elijah show up again, and they get killed. They get their heads cut off. What a way, man. How would you like to have that assignment? I wouldn't want that assignment. But anyway, go back to 1 Kings 17. Go back to 1 Kings 17. In 1 Kings 17, I love this account with Elijah and Moses and all that stuff. But 1 Kings 17, and Elijah goes up and he tells him not going to rain. He hides himself and so on. But then in chapter 18, Elijah, verse 2, went to show himself on Ahab. I mean, 3.5 years go by and he doesn't show himself. 3.5 years. And all of a sudden, he shows up in chapter 18, and he says, go tell Ahab. He tells Obadiah, go tell Ahab. In verse 3, Ahab called Obadiah, which was of the governor of his house. And so he tells Obadiah, if you read on down for time's sake, I'm trying to cut it short. He tells Obadiah, he said, look, you go look out for land and see if you can find a place that's got where our cattle and our sheep and all that don't die. Find some grass somewhere. So Obadiah goes one way, Ahab goes another way. And Obadiah goes out and Elijah steps out and says to Obadiah, he said, hey, go tell your king, go tell Ahab, I'm going to see y'all in a little bit. And Obadiah said, man, Lord, Elijah, you know how the Lord would direct you and go different places. And he said, man, if I go back and tell the king you're going to show up and you don't show up, I'm a dead man. And so he goes on and tells him that. But look at verse 17. And it says in verse 17 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings, it says, it came to pass that Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? He blamed the preacher for the trouble, just like the Democrats do. And they blamed the preacher for the trouble. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, thou hast followed Balaam. And he's telling, you know what Balaam was? Balaam was a prophet that went bad. And he was a prophet that went bad, and Israel ended up wiping him out. He was God's man at one time, and then Israel wiped him out. And it says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel on the Mount Carmel, and the prophet of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Jezebel had her own army of prophets and priests and all that stuff. She had her own a posse of all these religious leaders. And she had all of them sitting at her table, and they told her whatever she wanted to hear. You know, that's the way religion is today. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear, as long as you put money in the plate. That's where it is. And when you preach the Bible, you know, if you're sold out to God, you're not going to be bribed, or you're not going to be influenced by what the people think. You're going to be saying, look, I got to give the answer to God. And I'm going to preach what God has laid on my heart, and I'm going to preach it. And whether they like it or not, I'm going to preach the word of God. And so, thank God that we still got some preachers in America that are not bought out. They're not sold out. Like the Bible says, Ahab sold himself. He sold himself. Now, a lot of preachers sell out for other things. They'll sell out for all kinds of stuff. But that's not the message. But here it is in verse 19. Now, therefore, send and gather together all Israel on the Mount Carmel. Now, when I went to Israel, I got to go up on Mount Carmel. And, man, I went up on Mount Carmel, and they got a statue of Elijah with his foot on the prophets of Baal. Ain't that something? I mean, and you know what happens at the end of this chapter, what happens to the prophets of Baal? They end up getting wiped out. You know the prophets of Baal are right now, they're the new modernized Roman Catholic Church. The prophets of Baal are the new Catholic Church. I mean, they're still around. The prophets of Baal are still here. They're still going on. They wear black. People call them father. and people have to confess their sins to him, and they tell him to say so many Hail Marys and all that stuff. They're the prophets of Baal of modern day. And that's the Catholic Church is huge. And I think I've read somewhere where the Catholic Church has 1 million or 1 billion followers. 1 billion. There's like 1 or 2 billion Muslims. And right now the Pope is getting together with the Muslims. He's making a little peace treaty with them. And he's going to end up, you know, the Antichrist is going to end up having both. It says, so Ahab sent unto the children of Israel, verse 20, and gathered the prophets together onto Mount Carmel. And it says, Elijah came and all the people and said, how long, here's what I want to preach on this morning, verse 21, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord God, if be God, then follow him. He said, if Baal be God, if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Nobody said a word. I mean, man, opinions. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody in the world's got an opinion. You talk about politics, you talk about whatever, everybody's got an opinion. But here that day, he says, how long are you all going to have two opinions? You're in the middle. You're between. You don't know what to believe. You know, somebody else that's double-minded, the Bible talks about a double-minded man. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're double-minded about serving God, you're double-minded about what you believe, then I tell you what, you'll fall either way. Amen. You'll go either way. And usually it takes some kind of tragedy or takes something to happen in your life, something drastic for you to make up your mind. And that's the way it usually goes. If something in your mind or something in your life has to change you, make you think, okay, mom and dad, well, they might be crazy. They believe that Bible, but I'll tell you what, down the line, you're going to say, hey, mom and dad wasn't as crazy as I thought they were when they believe that Bible. I mean, man, thank God for people that made up their mind. You know, Jesus said, with their mouths they confess me, but their hearts are far from me. I mean, here Elijah is telling the people of Israel, he's telling all of them, he said, how long are you going to be halt between two opinions? How long are you going to do this? I mean, man, if God be God, serve him. I mean, if the Baal be God, then serve him. Hey, man, nobody's going to make you to do it. You make up your own mind. You got to make up your own mind. I mean, there's men in the Bible that made up their own mind. Long time ago, they made up their mind who God was. I mean, folks, and I wouldn't want to serve a God that I didn't know, I didn't trust. I wouldn't want to serve that kind of God. I'd want to serve a God that I know that's real. And he's alive. He's well. He takes care of me. I don't have to take care of him. I want that kind of God. I want to serve that kind of God. He says, how long? How long are you going to be like this? How long are you going to be double-minded? How long are you going to go on and keep going the way you're going? I mean, you're not happy on either side. I mean, you're living one way, you're doing another, saying one thing, doing another. You're not happy. How long are you going to do this? And the Bible says they all sat there looking at him like a tree full of owls. Just quiet. Didn't even say who. But they said they were looking at him like a tree full of owls. And Elijah, and look what the Bible says. Then Elijah, unto the people, verse 22, even I remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. He said, man, I'm outnumbered. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, you're always going to be outnumbered. You're always going to be outnumbered. You might as well face that. If you like to be around the popular opinions and popular people, you're going to be worried about your standing. You're going to worry about what you believe. You're going to be scared to death. And I'll tell you what, if somebody makes up their mind, they'll say to you, you're narrow-minded. I said, well, when it comes to the Word of God, I'm narrow-minded, man. I know God's true. And when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, I believe what he said. He's the only way. It's not religion. It's not my opinion. It's God's Word. It's not your opinion. There was a preacher one time. Somebody sent it to me this morning. His name is John Harper. And John Harper, you say, who was he? He was a Scottish preacher. How many of y'all have ever heard of John Harper? John Harper was on the Titanic. And that dude, I wrote down, I got my phone here, and I looked him up. Old John Harper, he had one opinion. And his opinion was Jesus Christ was everything. He says, Scottish Baptist preacher who died in the sinking of the Titanic. And he says he was born in Scotland in 1872. He personally embraced his parents' Christian faith at age 14. I mean, at age 14, he said, I believe what mom and dad believes, and I'm going to stand with them. Man, ain't that something? Amen. I mean, how many kids in this room right now, teenagers, would you say, I'm going to stay with mom and dad. I believe what they believe when it comes to their Christian faith. How many of y'all are going to say, I'm going to stay and serve God the rest of my life? How many are going to do that? How many are going to make up your mind and say, man, I'm not going to halt between two opinions. I done made up my mind. You know, I got my mind made up that God is real and God is alive and he's going to take care of everything and I'm going to trust him. And how many of y'all got your mind made up this morning? I got my mind made up. I made my mind up when I was 18 years old when I got saved. Man, I know what God did for me. I know where he brought me from. I know the pit he dug me out of. I tell you what, I'm thankful today for what he did for me. And I want to pass that out on my kids, but I can't force them to be like me. I can't force them to believe what I believe. I tell you what, but this guy, John Harper, he said, I'm going to believe what mom and dad believe. I'm going to believe that Bible. And that dude started preaching, and he started preaching at 18 years old. 18 years old. He supported his family in early childhood by doing manual labor in a mill until a Baptist pastor named E.A. Carter of the Baptist Pioneer Mission in London heard of his preaching and placed him in the ministry, worked in Gotland, Scotland. In 1887, he began the first pastor of Presley Road Baptist Church in Glasgow, Scotland. Under his care, the church quickly grew from 25 members to 500. Man, young boy preaching, 18 years old. He was on the Titanic and bringing his wife had died. He was by himself with his sister on the Titanic. And that guy, man, when they hit an iceberg, man, everybody started frantic, going crazy. You know what he did? He started preaching. That old boy, he got his wife, I mean his daughter, his wife was already gone. He got his sister on a boat and put him in the water. And they said, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He goes, honey, I've got a job to do. God's called me to do. He said, I got to make sure these people come to know God. And man, he started preaching the gospel and started preaching to them as the ship was going down. Man, I tell you what, that guy went up to people, personally walked up to people and said, are you saved? Do you know you're going to heaven? He stayed behind. And he said, they wrote a book about this guy. They called the last hero on the Titanic. This guy, man, went around and he looking people in the face. One guy said, I don't want to hear it, man. Just don't tell me nothing. And you know what else he said? He said, all the women and children and lost people get on the boat because I don't want to see you die and go to hell. Amen. Take my place. He got in this one guy's face and said, man, are you saved? And the guy goes, I don't want to hear a preacher. Don't be preaching to me now. This is not the time. Yeah. How many of you ever hear people say, this is not the time. Right now is the time. Amen. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. People say, why are you preaching at a funeral? Because now is the time. And he said the guy twice rejected him. He goes, look, I told you. And he had a life jacket on, this John Harper. He said, look, you're going to need this more than I do. And he put that life jacket on that man. That man got up later on, and when the Titanic survivors met, he got up and gave that testimony. He said, that man gave his life for me. He said, that man gave me, he said, I've trusted Jesus Christ. He said, even in the water, he was swimming around the water, yelling, preaching the gospel, telling, believe on Jesus, call upon him while you have life in you. As he was going under the water, he was still preaching. He done made up his mind. What was the truth? What was right? You know, people won't open their mouth because they're worried about money. They're worried about power, prestige. They're worried about popularity. They won't open their mouth about Jesus Christ. People don't, if you don't make up your mind, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. I mean, you ought to make up your mind. I mean, Elijah did. He made up his mind. He said, man, how long? And Elijah goes on and he says, get all the prophets together. We'll have a showdown. We'll have a showdown. And they had a showdown. He said, man, what happened? Well, you read your Bible. You read on through there. You'll find, he says, tells them to get men, you know, a sacrifice and all that. And the Bible says they cut themselves. You know, people cutting themselves, that's satanic. Because the Bible says the prophets of Baal, they were cutting themselves. Blood was running all over the place. They were on top of their altar. They were screaming to Baal. And Elijah started making fun of them. He started mocking them. He said, hey, maybe you got to get a little louder. And they were screaming. 450 plus 400 of the grove. You had 850 men that were screaming and yelling, cutting themselves and going off. And Elijah sitting over there watching them. And he said, hey, Maybe he's on a long journey. Maybe he just need a little yell a little louder. He mocked them. I mean, he made fun of them. Why? Because here those guys, all they thought their God was real, and he wasn't real. And you know what he told them? He said, the God that answers by fire is going to be the God that's real. He gave them a challenge. You know, God gives you a challenge. He'll allow things happen in your life to see how you're going to handle it. A lot of times you think you're a man, you think you're a real woman, you think you really love God, and you get a challenge in front of you, see how you're going to act. You find out what you're really made of. I mean, you'll find out your character. I mean, what the friends say about you. After I got saved, all my friends mocked me. They made fun of me. They made fun of the Bible. They said, man, and my father, my family made fun of me. They made fun of the Bible. They mocked everything I did. Everything that I tried to do for the Lord. They mocked it. But you know what? After a while, they quit mocking. When the Titanic starts going down, they quit mocking. When things get a crisis in your life, they'll quit mocking. I had men working with me, that men, they would mock me and make fun of me and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, when the crisis came in their life, I'd be the first one they'd come find. And they'd say, hey, will you pray with me? And I thank God I wasn't halt between two opinions. Elijah said, how long Israel? He said, how many people were there? He said, let all Israel get together. There had to be a million standing out there. And he said, how long halt ye between the two opinions? He was by himself. With all the 850 prophets cutting himself. Look what it says. Look on down. It says in verse 22, and then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. He said, let them therefore give us two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces. And lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I will address the other bullock, and I'll lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, small g, call on your gods. He says, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. This is the only time they said, okay, yeah, that's a good thing. Let's see what's going to happen. You know, the people watching you, they watched Elijah. You think about millions of eyes on Elijah that day. As he walked around mocking those prophets, as they were cutting themselves, the Bible says, I mean, they were jumping on top of their altar and cutting themselves, all kinds of crazy stuff. Look at verse 26. You see that. In verse 26, they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. So that's where at noon, people think, well, you ought to get out of church right at 12 o'clock noon. That's it. We're already 5 after 12. Hallelujah. We're breaking the prophet's Baal's tradition. And they mocked. I mean, Elijah mocked. And look what it says in verse 28. And they cried aloud. And it says, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lantlets till the blood gets out upon them. I mean, they were out there, man. I mean, you talking about a lot of blood being shed. They're out there cutting themselves and all that stuff. And that's why I say this is satanic. It's satanic. If you're watching by online or whatever and you're sitting around cutting yourself, that's satanic. It's of the devil. You're following the devil. You'd rather do something to you, you know, like that than just obey God. You know, obeying God is not that hard. It's not hard at all just to trust in God. It's not hard at all. Just trust him. I mean, man, I'll tell you what, they got on, and Elijah, man, he ends up taking these stones, 12 stones, verse 31, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, sons of Jacob. And the word of the Lord came and saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. You ought to have some kind of altar in your life. You ought to have some kind of altar where you can talk to God and spend a daily time with the Lord. You ought to have that in your life. Yeah, I'm not talking about you have to go and say, you know, it's good if you've got a personal place that you like to go and pray. That's good. But I'm telling you, it ought to be in here. You ought to have an altar in here. You say, what is that? It's for a sacrifice. It's for a sacrifice. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, Paul the apostle, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You ought to have, well, if God saved you, I mean, Garrett just got saved. Ben just got saved. Everybody in this room saved. If you ought to say, God, I'm not my own anymore. You bought me with a price. I trust you. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you all. Amen. You don't have to fear when you give God anything, because God multiplies things. The devil takes away and destroys, but God multiplies. And man, the prophets of Baal, man, they're cutting themselves. They're going on, and all the way up to noon, nothing happens. I mean, man, from about 9 o'clock in the morning, it says from morning until noon, about maybe even earlier than that. They're up there going crazy, screaming, yelling, cutting, blood flying everywhere. And Elijah's standing over there going, what a bunch of idiots. What a bunch of idiots. And Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel was, you know, like I said, Jezebel, that was her prophets. And Ahab was a wicked man because he had a bad wife. Both ways. I mean, he was a bad man too, but he had a bad wife. I mean, I don't ever hear of a woman naming, or any family, unless they're just Bible blockheads. I've never heard of anybody naming their daughter Jezebel. Have you? If you have, and she's a teenager, run away from her, get away from her. It says, it came to pass that when midday was passed, they prophesied until the time of the offering of evening sacrifice. Look on down. They prophesied. They were screaming, cutting, blood running out, and they prophesied all the way up to the evening sacrifice. When is the evening sacrifice? It's probably about 3 to 6. So they went on all day long. All day long, screaming and yelling. No answer. None. The words that Elijah said to the people, how long halt ye between two opinions? We got a lot of Christians today. They haven't made up their mind yet. You know, I said to Jesse, I said to Brother Ken and other people there, I said, you know, when this pandemic happened, the 50 percenters is the ones that's out. The one that's 100% wanting to serve God. I mean, I'm not saying you're like on fire, you come to church, woo, all the time. I mean, there's times you had to drag yourself in, but you still did it. But the 50 percenters, they done made up their mind, oh, I'm just going to stay out. Why? It's convenient. Right. It's convenient. That's the 50 percenters. If you're watching, I know you're a 50 percenter. Now, I realize there's some people got health issues. I know that. I have to say that every time. But I see people, man, out at Walmart, out at the Mexican restaurant. My daughter went in the Mexican restaurant the other day. There were three different families in there that come to church. I haven't been to church, but they've been at the Mexican restaurant. Yeah, they go to the Chinese buffet. Yes, sir. You're right. I would never go to a Chinese buffet. I do not like the Chinese buffet. Dr. Rubin used to always say, hey, man, come on, let's go get something to eat, man. I said, where you going? He said, I'm going to Chinese buffet. I said, I ain't going. He said, all right, man, we're going to Mexican. I said, all right, yeah, I'll go then. I know the Mexicans scrape the stuff off the floor, but that's all right. It's good. Anyway, that's good. But where were we? But 50 percenters, man. The 50 percenters. 100 percenters, man, they just going to trust the Lord. I mean, like I said, if you got a health issue, don't you sit there and think I'm bad-mouthing you. If you got a health issue, I understand. I understand. But look, the Bible says that at around the evening sacrifice, Elijah puts, look what the verse 33 says. He puts the wood in order, cuts the bullock in pieces, lays him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water. He wanted to show them they wasn't a magician's trick. Serving God is not a magician. It's not a magician's trick. He said, fill the 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And they said, oh, man, this is pretty something. He said, do it again. They said, again? 4 barrels full of water, fill it up again. Do it again. And then they said, okay, it's done. He said, do it again. They did it the third time, verse 34. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. I mean, that thing was showing that this, you know, you can't, they say you can't light wet wood. And, man, he says, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. You know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to try him out. He said that you might know that there's a God. You know, the Bible says once you're saved, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know. He doesn't want you to have two opinions or stand between an opinion. He He don't want you to. He wants you to know for sure. The night I got saved, I knew something happened to me. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't take a Bible and show you. But I knew something happened inside me. I knew there was a love put inside me where I had hatred. Something happened. I couldn't explain it. The more I read the book, the more I just fall in love with him. But something happened inside me. And more, I'll tell you what, you know, we sing that song, he gets sweeter as the days go by. He does. I mean, I can't hardly preach anymore without tears running down my face. Man, how sweet the Lord is. How good he is, because I know what I deserve. I know I'm no good. I know I deserve to be in hell even now. I deserve to be in hell for the sins that I've committed after I was saved. So do you. The Lord's good. You want to ask me my opinion? My opinion that Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm going to serve him the rest of my days. Elijah started praying, and man, I tell you what, I heard a preacher preach. He said, the day that a preacher prayed and the fire began to fall and the snakes began to crawl, he preached that message. Boy, I tell you what, that was some message. The day a preacher prayed and the fire fell and the snakes crawled. Look here. Look at the prayer. 63 words. 63 words. And the Bible says, it says in verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things and at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts, back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face. Guess what? The fear of God just hit them. And the fear fell on their face, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. He said, what did they do in the Old Testament? They slew them. They were false prophets. Amen. You know what? If you ask some prophets in the Bible, you ask some real prophets in the Bible, what they believe about God and what they believe about Jesus Christ. I know Isaiah said this in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. You say, Isaiah, what's your opinion of God? He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train did fill the temple. And man, he starts praising God. You find in chapter 9, Isaiah says, he's wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's everything. And Isaiah, he wrote 66 books. They call it the little Bible. 66 chapters in the Bible. And Isaiah has 66 chapters in the Bible. And man, I'll tell you what, Isaiah got a glimpse of heaven. You know what you need this morning? You need to get a glimpse of God. You need to get a glimpse of heaven. If you're saved, you need to get a hold of God. You need to spend some time with the Lord. And man, until God, man, shows you that he is real, that way you won't be standing between two opinions. You won't have that. You won't be double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God doesn't want you to be double-minded. He wants his children to know who their father is. I knew who my father was before I got saved. It was Satan himself. I'll tell you what, but now I know who my father now, after I'm saved. He's my heavenly father. He's wonderful. He's counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father, the Prince of Peace. I mean, you ask John, the beloved, about him. John, man, he had an opinion when he said, I was on the Isle of Patmos. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He said, I saw him. Boy, I tell you what, when he came down, man, he was like dressed in the priest's outfit. Man, he talked about Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1. He talked about how great he was and how he said, he said, Jesus said this. He said, I am. He's I was, and I'm right now, I'm forevermore. And man, he knew who God was. John did. John, man, he got a hold of that. He started praising God. I mean, John wrote the book of Revelation. He's seen the beginning to the end of the book of Revelation. I was telling the folks yesterday and at the funeral, I said, we're living in Revelation chapter 3 right now. chapter 4 about ready to take place. And you say, what takes on in chapter 4? It's a rapture. It's a rapture takes place in chapter 4. Man, we're about ready to go, brother. If you're still between two opinions, God help you. God help you. If you want to change your mind about 1 second after the Lord comes back, you'll change your mind. And you know what David said? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew who God was. That's why David could go out and face a giant. He was confident knowing that his God was real. His God is alive. You might be going to face some giants coming up this week. I don't know what you're going to face. But David, when he went out and faced that giant, everybody else was scared to death. And they were all hiding on the mountaintop for the side of a mountain for 40 days. And when Saul should have been the one to go out there and took that giant's head off, but he was fearful because he had an unclean spirit in him. But David had the spirit of God. And he came down there. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. I mean, he said, man, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I mean, David wrote the Psalms. He wrote the great Psalm chapter 23. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, man. He had God. He had an opinion of God, and his opinion was God was everything. What's your opinion of the Lord? I mean, what's your opinion of him? He said, Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? I mean, is he God? Yes, he is. He's a God worthy to be praised. He's a God that ought to be lifted up in our lives and our homes. Revelation, man, talking about the Lord coming back and all those things. We say, oh, yeah, we believe that, but we live a different way. We don't live like we believe that. Jesus said this. He said, no man can serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other. Who do you love? You know what I find? I find in this life that the problem with me and everybody else that's saved is a love. Our love gets kind of perverted. Our love for God gets perverted. Elijah, man, he goes, how long halt ye between two opinions? You know what? When they were at a turning point, or they were at a crossroads, and that crossroads, man, they had to look at and they had to deal with. And then when the fire fell, they fell on their face. You know what you ought to do this morning, Christian? You ought to fall on your face before God. Knowing this book is right, it's real. You ought to say, God, help me to trust you. Help me love you more. Help me have the right opinion about you. You know what? The devil's right there saying, God's unfair. He's always putting that in your mind. God's unfair. God don't care. You should never be going through this. You know, the devil would tell you, you're supposed to be a millionaire right now. If God really loves you, you should have everything you desire. God should be like our genie that we can just tell him what we want. That's a lie from the hell. You know what God's going to keep you from? He's going to keep you from the hour of temptation. Because the Bible says in Revelation that, man, there's going to be an hour of temptation upon this earth, 7-year tribulation. I don't believe we're going through the tribulation. You can believe whatever you want, but I know I ain't going through it, amen. I go through some tribulation down here, but I ain't going to go through that 7-year tribulation. Why? That's when God judges Israel. Thank God I ain't going through that. I've read the end of the book, man. I've read through the book. I know I ain't going through it. Hallelujah. Thank God. Have you made up your mind? Have you made up your mind? I'll tell you what, you start reading this book, you start getting closer to him, you start falling more in love with him. And man, the old Bob Jones Sr. used to say this, he said, the right road comes out the right place. You know, I've been down the road long enough now. I've been saved since I was 18 years old. I'm 64, getting ready to turn 65. I've been down the road, I've done made up my mind, I know it's the right road. Well, I've been on this road for a while now. It's the right road. And it's going to come out right. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. You know what the officers, the Pharisees sent the officers in John chapter 7. They sent them, they said, you go take Jesus. You go get him and bring him back to us so we can kill him. And you know what the officers went out there and they stood there and they listened to Jesus and they came back and they said, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? The Pharisees said, where's Jesus? You know why? The Bible says they were worried about their position. They were envious of him because all Israel was following Jesus Christ. And they said, man, where is he? You know what the officer said? Never a man spoke like this man. Never a man spoke like this man. Have y'all heard him? Have you heard him? Never a man spoke like this man. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. Don't take a break. You don't get off, you know, for a summer break. You don't get off a spring break. Winter break. Don't take a break. If God be God, serve him. Man, we got up there at the Mount of Mount Carmel. We was up there, and Brother Glenn just sent me a picture the other day. Made me think about preaching this message. Brother Glenn sent me a picture of me standing, me and Linda standing in front of the prophets, you know, the Elijah with his foot on the prophets of Baal. But I told you this before, right there at that same point is the Catholic Church. And man, every couple minutes, buses were pulling up, Chinese. I mean, people from all over the world were pulling up in there. And I went in there. I was running to the bathroom a lot because I kept going. They had, and this place had like 50 stalls in the bathroom. Women's stall, I couldn't go in the women's side. I went in the men's side. But there was like 50 stalls in each bathroom. I was running in every bathroom, putting tracks in every stall. I thought maybe the Chinese would get this. Maybe somebody from another country would get it. Maybe they'll get saved. Man, you got to keep that in your mindset. Man, I'm serving God. I'm amazed. I pulled up in Wendy's last night. And I said to a girl, I said, have you ever seen one of these before? A gospel tract. She just stared. She said, no, I've never seen one like that. I've never seen that. You know, there's people never seen. Never heard. We get busy about our life. We get doing things. You can still take care of your business, but be about my Father's business. How long halt you between two opinions? I've seen some of your folks get fired up. Then I see you cool off. So you get fired up. And then you cool off. And you say, well, I know that's Christian life. But man, can't you stay fired up a little longer? Can't you just stay on top a little bit more? Most people are down more than they're up. How long halt you between two opinions? You know what David did? David stirred himself up. You got to stir yourself up sometimes. This life will beat you down. Prophets of Baal, all that stuff going on. Every time you turn around, there's something going on. You got to stir yourself up. I like that story about this John Harper. Old John Harper, man. You know what happened? He came to a crossroads. Do I save my life and let these people die and go to hell? Or do I give my life so they can survive? Jesus said, what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while, vanishes away. John Harper, when I read that this morning, somebody sent that to me. I started looking him up. I said, whew. I had to think in my own mind, would I have done that? Would I have saved myself? Guy was 39 years old. Died 39 years old. God bless him. Say, what happened? He's going to have a crown. No man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. What master are you going to serve? If God be God, serve him. Father, I thank you that I can call you Father. I thank you, God, that you care about us, Lord. And I pray, oh God, we like to sing the song, I got my mind made up and my foot on the rock. And my Father, help us to have our minds made up, our foot on the rock. And my God, I pray you help us, Lord God, to never turn back, never let up. Lord, I know we always say nobody can stay 100% fired up all the time, but we should try. We should give it a shot. Or if we're down, nobody should ever know it. They should never know we're down. Only one should know it is me and you. Oh, my Father, I pray help my brothers and sisters this morning. Help Faith Baptist Church to make up our mind. No turning back. No turning back. We got people that were on fire one time here. I just heard this week of a brother said, went to see another brother and said, it's been 21 years. Never would have thought I've been out of church 21 years. They'll go after whatever. God, help my brothers and sisters get back in. Stop wasting time. Make up their mind. If God be God, serve him. Jesus even said, no man can serve two masters. Money is a master. And it doesn't rule well. Money makes slaves of people. I'd rather be yielded to the Spirit of God to be a servant of Jesus Christ than be a slave to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Oh God. If there's somebody here fighting some sin in their life, the devil's got them hooked. I pray, God, help them this morning get that victory. If it's drugs or pornography, whatever it might be, God, help them. Not let the devil use that as a hook and enslave them. Help them to make up their mind. God, I'm going to get rid of that junk in my life. I'm going to get that junk out of my life. I belong to you, Lord. You're my all in all. You're everything. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high, lifted up. Help us to get a glimpse of you, Lord, this morning. Help my brothers and sisters this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You all stand to your feet.